The sermon title today is titled The Christ Encounter. So I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 this morning. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. I'm not going to read a lot of scripture. I may refer to a scripture today, but I'm not going to go have us go from page to page to page like a lot of times that we do today. So 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, and I would like for you to go down to verse 17. So 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, and verse 17. In verse 17, it says this: For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. The message of the cross is not about a piece of jewelry, and it's not about a piece of ornamentation. The power of the cross comes from the finished work of Christ that was completed at Calvary for each and every one of us today. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will not only be with you, but I will also be in you. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit indwelling in your life today. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus gave his life for all of humanity today. He said, it is finished. The work is done. Your eternal life was purchased that day in full. If you know Jesus, your debt you owed is paid in full, and you will spend eternity with Jesus. But to the unbelieving world, the cross is only for an ornament. It's only for jewelry, because the message is foolish to them. In verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Foolish to who? To the unbeliever. To those that do not know Jesus. Now, in the New King James Version, or the Old King James Version, it says to those who are perishing. But in the NLT, or the Living Translation, it says to those who are headed to destruction. To them, the cross is something pretty to wear, but to never believe in, that is nothing. That is foolishness. Paul knew more than anyone else the power of words will never get you there. The power of salvation does not lie within the power of words or your power to communicate. The power of salvation lies within the power of the Holy Spirit through the finished work of the cross. In Romans chapter 1:17, in 1:17 it says, we'll go back to Romans 1:17, you're not very far from there. I don't even know if I put that on my list, but 1:17 says, It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Listen to me. No one has ever convinced anyone that they needed to accept Jesus. Now think about that just for a moment. No one has ever convinced anyone that they needed to accept Jesus. They may be convinced that change is needed in their life, or they may even see that change is needed in their life, but they're never convinced by anybody or by the voice of an individual to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that they will see that it is more than a physical change, a lifestyle. It's more than that change that is needed. That the real change needed is a spiritual change that needs to take place in everyone's life. The need to accept Jesus. John 6 verse 44 says, we can't come to Jesus unless we are drawn by the Father. Man cannot do that. I cannot convince you. Nobody ever convinced me that I needed to accept Jesus. You're absolutely right. I recognize that in my life change needed to be brought about, that there were things that needed to be different in my life, but I was never convinced that I needed to accept Jesus. I might have been convinced that I needed to work on things in my life to change things in my life, but never to accept Jesus. That drawing power is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, it is expedient that I go away so the Holy Spirit will come. Convicting people of the sin of not knowing Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the convincer. He convinces people of their need for Jesus. Convincing is the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's His work. Not man's words, nor our arguments. To the unbelieving world, the cross is foolishness. Man's words cannot and will not convince them otherwise. Anyone in the world that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, they do because they had a personal encounter with Him. The personal encounter is not face to face, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 21, it says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The NLT says, since God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never know Him through human wisdom, He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. In other words, you cannot read a book and say that you know Jesus. You cannot go to church and just because you go to church say, I know Jesus. You cannot be raised in the church as a child with your mother and father, your grandmother or grandfather, and because you did that, you can say, now I know Jesus. That is not true. You can't listen to a profound speaker and say, now I know Jesus. It's not mankind that brings people to salvation. It's an encounter with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul knew that more than anything else. He says, I don't come to you with wisdom of words. It's not the power of my speaking that is bringing people to the Lord Jesus. It's the power of the done and finished work on Calvary by Jesus. That's what saves people. Yes, we are the hands and the feet of the Lord. We have a job to do, but only God can save when mankind has an encounter with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our nation lacks the power in the pulpit today. And what is that power that is needed in the pulpit when the preacher recognizes he is nothing and that God is everything and it's not about what he says, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what changes lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 6, it says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God gave the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that leads people to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We read in 1 Corinthians, or Romans chapter 1, verse 14, I owe everybody that I come in contact with the opportunity of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. But it's only the work of the Holy Spirit that will bring them to the Savior. If you look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 17 again, verse 17 says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, which is what? The good news, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. I love you and Carol loves you, but if you do not know Jesus, I don't want you to come here just to have an encounter with me. I want you to have an encounter with Jesus. I want us to turn to one last scripture today. It's found in the book of Romans, or the book of Luke, and it's about the road to Emmaus. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, I want you to go to verse 13. So Luke 24 and verse 13, and we're going to read several verses in this passage. But in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, it says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then one of those names, whose names was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the stranger in Jerusalem, and the only stranger? And have you not known the things which happen here in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and now how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with us said went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures of things concerning himself. And when they drew near to the village when they were going, and he indicated he had gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and stayed with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, and he blessed, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, and listen to the words, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Do you feel it? Did you feel it when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Amen. Amen. It wasn't somebody convincing you, not man, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit, the convictor, the convincer, that was speaking to your heart that you needed to accept Jesus. That encounter is something that everyone has gone through to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've heard of my testimony. You've heard of Carol's testimony. You have heard of other people's in this church, their testimony of the encounter that they had in meeting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Is the cross foolishness to you, or is it the power of salvation? It is the power of salvation. Amen. I will never convince you. But if you do not know Jesus, right now, the Holy Spirit is trying to convince you. Are you listening? And you listen in here, don't you? You listen in here. And what's the Holy Spirit telling you? Holy Spirit's telling you, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's the one that brings change. You don't change and then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and Jesus brings change. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We would ask that your Holy Spirit would sweep over this place, and as only you can do. You can touch every heart, and you can touch every life individually. And it amazes me, Father, in your word, Jesus had all these things to do, but he took time to visit these two. Lord, your Holy Spirit is not too busy for any of us today. And you want to reach us and touch us with your presence and with your nearness. I ask that, Father, that you would touch anyone today that doesn't know Jesus to make that decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. And while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, would there be one, a church, if you're a believer, be praying for those that may not be here right now. Start praying for them. Lord, Holy Spirit, have your will in this service. Holy Spirit, have your will in anybody that doesn't know Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your will in unctioning them and convincing them that they need to make that decision today, because the day is the day of salvation. Are you praying for the unbeliever? If anybody in this room that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, before you leave this place, I want you to personally know him. And you can personally know him, because his Spirit is burning in your life right now. Is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus that said, Pastor Leo, I want you to pray with me. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would there be one here today? Is there anyone? Lord Jesus, we just praise you for this resurrection day, that we are celebrating your resurrection, your victory. And because you had the victory over death, hell, and the grave, we as well have victory over death, hell, and the grave. We are alive forevermore, not for what we bring to the table, but for what you have brought to the table, and we rejoice in that forevermore. I pray over this congregation that you would pour out your blessing from the windows of heaven on each and every one of their lives, that you would bless their life as an individual, you'd bless their life as a family. I pray that you would walk before them. I pray that you would anoint their footsteps. I pray that you would lead them. I pray for people that say, in my life, there seems to be doors shut. There seem to be doors closed. Nothing is working out for me. In the name of Jesus, open those doors right now for their life, to bless their life and pour your goodness into their heart, into their life. Bless us as we leave this place, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. Bless our families. If we have to be on the road, may your traveling mercies be upon each and every one of us. And we ask it all today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. You're dismissed. Have a great day.